Talking Automotive for VACC, providing support to the automotive industry with valued information and advice during these tough times.
VACC CEO Jeff Quillam joins me each Monday. Jeff, good evening.
Dennis, good evening.
There are a few plans in place which might either please people or possibly scare them a little bit.
Well, I think it depends where you live. So we've got the Victoria's Infrastructure Strategy, which is a paper put together, obviously, by Infrastructure Victoria. And there was a draft paper out probably over a year ago now. We made some comments to it. It was a public document. And then they produced this document, which is the 2021-2051 30-year strategy. And then in about 12 months, Dennis, the government actually built a plan out of the strategy, and it's a very lengthy process. However, it's $100 billion.
Pardon? I'm having trouble with the line. Did you say $100 million or billion?
So if you adopted all of the 94 recommendations in the plan, it's $100 billion, which in real money is probably about $150 billion by the time you get there. Remember, though, it's over 30 years, so it's a big plan. But here's some interesting things about this thing, okay? So this is a strategy. The government built a plan out of it. Now, it doesn't mean they'll accept all of the recommendations, but it's about more rail. It's about really making decisions about what goes in or out of the metropolitan area. And so to come to the metropolitan area first, around the world, as you know, there's a whole lot of dilemma around congestion and pollution in our major cities. And, you know, even though we're going to talk a bit about electric vehicles tonight as normal, that push towards what they call zero emission vehicles in the meantime, which is, you know, could be 25 years, you know, the governments are really focusing on what we do with the vehicles that come into the city area. So, okay, here's some of the recommendations. They're talking about right now there is a congestion tax on cars inside the congestion zone in the city. So if you park your car, like I park my car in the VACC building, I can't remember what it is. I think it's $1,500 a year. It's $1,400. I did write it down somewhere. It's $1,480 a year. And then there's a category two that's a bit less. What the government's saying is that they would spread that. So the congestion zone would go further out. And the rate of what they call adding value, which just means that more people would be included in those that get charged for that. So that's a disincentive. There are a number of things in this strategy, which is about disincentivising vehicles, cars in particular, going into the metropolitan area. The second one is actually having a zone. You know, it could be a 5-kilometre zone that says, by the way, if you're in the zone, you're going to pay a congestion zone every day you go in with your car. So an example today is if you've got a car in London, an old car that's got poor emissions in London, it's £17.50 a day, that's $33 a day based on the London congestion tax, and that's getting pushed out further in London. And as you know, with congestion, they sort of collect number plate data off of overhead tolls and they can push them out quite easily. So there's costs more to park, costs more to drive in. And they're talking about trialling more charges for street parking in those zones as well.
So if you were Lord Mayor of Melbourne when you hear if we're hearing about this, given the problems they're having to get people back in towards the city, you'd be a bit concerned, wouldn't you?
You would, Dennis. I think, look, reading the report, obviously the underpinning theories have got some value. However, it sounds like a plan that says if you live in the city, we like you. You haven't got a car, you live in an apartment, you're in. If you live on the fringe of the city and you can ride your electric scooter or your push bike, we like you as well because you're still not using your vehicle to get here. As soon as you get in your car and drive into the city, this is in this strategy document and we need to see how that goes into planning. But if they pick up these recommendations, when you get into your car, you're going to immediately be hit with a bill. Ironically, there's a huge money in here to extend the rail links and have a big loop and outer metropolitan rail loop, faster trains to Geelong. But they're also talking about charging people to use train station car parks. And again, in suburbia, I'm thinking, well, so I've got to ride my push bike to the train station or get a bus or go on my electric scooter. But, you know, we've got to be really careful we don't nudge out all those people that feel safe in their car that don't want to get onto another form of transport or just
that's right.
In my car, ride a push bike.
I'm thinking there might be people who to get around this might stop at, say, it depends how far out they're going to be talking about, but maybe people will get off the train at North Melbourne and ride their scooter into the city.
Well, I think that's going to be one of the challenges, because even now, Dennis, we know there's been in the press, there's a whole lot of dialogue around car parks at train stations, but I'll use my local stations here, Eltham Station, and if you're not down there by 6:30, ordinarily, you know, we know COVID's affected this, if you're not down there at 6:30, you can't park there. All the parking's gone, and it wouldn't really matter if they charge you to park there or not, you actually wouldn't be able to get in there to park. So even the report talks about lowering train and tram charges, by the way, to be fair to the strategy report. But, we've just got to make sure we don't have a situation where you're left with the worst of two evils on the basis of, I don't want to take my car in, it's expensive to get on the train or the tram. You know, I think one of the things we try to have a metropolitan system like Europe, but we're just not like Europe. We've got these huge sprawling suburbs that aren't very well connected up. Now, the plans talk about better rail and better linkages, but some of that's 2035 and some of it goes right through to 2050, and yet some of the congestion charges they're talking about coming in the next 2 years, and I'm not sure that's fair.
I want tonight's discussion, Jeff, to be put in a radio time capsule and and someone bring it up in about 25 years' time and see how much progress we've actually made. We'll take a break. More with Jeff Gwillim after the break and your calls, 96900693 or 131332. A little bit on electric vehicles to come. Jeff Gwillim is with me, and to hear more of Jeff, you can have a listen to The Grill, the newest auto industry podcast hosted by Greg Russ, Shane Jacobson, and Jeff Gwillim. Search The Grill, where all good podcasts are available. Jeff, in this big plan, the $100 billion plan, where do electric cars feature?
Well, the government would like to see them feature highly, but the numbers are... We've got slight growth. There's a report that's just been released by the Electric Vehicle Council, and it does show we're going to probably sell 20,000 electric vehicles in Australia this year, and Victoria buys about a third of those. And we've got a long way to go. So one of Victoria's strategies is to have 50% of all vehicles, new vehicles, purchased in 2030 as electric vehicles. Big challenge there. So... About 320,000 vehicles are purchased in Victoria every year. You'd need to be 160,000 vehicles you'd be selling in 4 years' time would be electric. So you've got to go from 5,000 in Victoria to 160,000 in 4 years. Now, that's not going to happen. And even though we've got good incentives, got $3,000 and a few other things thrown in Victoria... And there are, you know, people say there aren't enough electric vehicles here. Well, there are. There's 31 electric vehicle types in Australia. But, Dennis, my view, and I've looked around the world and we have conversations with people in Europe about electric vehicles, and I still think, even though we don't actually support incentivizing vehicles in a market, because the market conditions should look after themselves, and we learn from LPG that incentivization ends in tears when you can't get this stuff anymore. But, you know, countries are subsidising electric vehicles up to 15,000. And, you know, I think it's a bit like the COVID rollout in terms of the vaccinations. We know they're coming. Parity in pricing will come with electric vehicles. Next year, there'll be more models available in the market here. But until that price gets parity with conventional internal combustion engines, I think we're going to resist it. And the only thing that will help pushes over the line is if the disincentives in things like the infrastructure strategy, if they disincentivize other cars so much. But I think we've got to be very careful. Again, we're not a small European city. We're a big sprawling environment, and we've got to make sure that people can move around okay.
And a lot of people were talking very positively about the concept of trying an electric vehicle, and then the news came that they might have actually been penalised, and we can't keep having these sort of mixed messages about whether you're going to be charged for road use and all that sort of stuff when you're trying to look after the environment. Fascinating, Jeff. We will talk more about this $100 billion concept in the coming weeks.
Thanks, Dennis.
Good on you, and don't forget, again, The Grill is the newest auto industry podcast with Jeff Gwillim. Search The Grill where all good podcasts are available.